Hello, Middle-aged gamers, and no, I am not Korean because he just had his COVID shot, so he's not feeling so good today. So this will be Adam and myself, which means we're going to digress, we're going to talk about everything we're not supposed to talk about, and that's exactly how it's going to be. You are used to it. Perfect. As I'm always awkward in introduction, that's why I don't do them. So let's get all the stuff out of the way. It really helps us if you put up, if you share, if you comment. As usual, we are live on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook, which means you can talk to us during the show and we'll be more than happy to talk to you and digress even more. It's fine, that's what we are here. So we are here for 1 hour. And because I am the presenter, I will announce that we're going to start with Adam's first story.
All right.
Hey, I'm not too bad for once, huh?
Nah, not too bad at all. No, I wouldn't say for once, it's always great. All right, so my first story is going to be the recent Sony hack. So apparently a group of hackers called ransomed.vc claims that they have hacked Sony. So should you be worried? The answer is maybe. So apparently they are a new outfit of hacker. They have only started operating since September. They claim to be a secure solution for addressing data security vulnerabilities within companies, while also operating in strict compliance with GDPR and data privacy laws. In cases where payment is not received, we are obligated to report a data privacy law violation to the GDPR agency. End quote. So basically what they're saying is we hack various groups and steal their data, and then we demand ransom for it. And when these companies, if they don't pay us, then we are obligated to go to the authorities and tell them that, oh, these companies are not safe because their data is hackable, stealable. So we are obligated to go to the authorities and report you for not keeping data safe, which is an odd way of working, but that's what they do. And basically, to provide proof that they have hacked Sony, they have provided screenshots of Sony's internal login page, an internal PowerPoint presentation outlining test bench details, several Java files, and a document tree of the entire leak, which is just under 6,000 files. So basically, they've shown screenshots of the things that they have hacked. However, CyberConnect basically has come out and said that they don't believe that this is a very credible. They said that it's unlikely that this is actually, that this data was actually leaked. It might just be this group claiming that there was a leak, trying to get money, trying to extort money out of Sony. However, it has yet to be confirmed one way or the other. The group did say that they have a post date set for September 28th. So that's tomorrow. So they said that they left details for Sony to contact them. But they also said, we have successfully compromised all Sony systems. We won't ransom them. We will sell the data due to Sony not wanting to pay. Data is for sale. We are selling it. However, they have not put up a sale price yet. And they say that they're going to dump everything tomorrow if Sony doesn't pay or nobody buys it, which, again, they haven't put up a price. But yeah, Sony says that they are looking into it. And one way or the other, we should know tomorrow because they claim that they're going to be dumping all this data tomorrow if nobody pays for it. But yeah, should you be worried? Maybe. At this point, it's hard to say. If just to be safe, it might be better to maybe take down all your credit card information, wait a couple days, see how it goes, and then just re-register all that information later just to be on the safer side. A lot of people have changed their passwords and that sort of thing. So if you are feeling nervous, feel free to go ahead and take those safety precautions.
Absolutely. I agree with Adam on this. If you feel that your data has been compromised, make sure to change your password at the very least. And if you are very worried about it, you have some software like NordVPN who can create and store password for you, which is way more secure than storing your password on Google Chrome, for instance. That save your password information, but that's not secure at all. If possible, don't do that. And I'm not a lawyer, right? But I've seen enough show or things like this to know that at least if you provide information or proof which have been illegally acquired, it does not work. Why do you think police do all this paperwork to get warrants to go to someone they know have done something illicit? It doesn't work like this, right? We can say, hey, we hacked you and we're going to give this proof to... No. First, it's not going to be accepted as proof. Second, the authorities are looking into you because you did an illegal activity. That's stupid. However, if they did steal data from Sony and sell it, that's worrying enough for you to change your password. So
they're claiming to sell it. They haven't sold it yet.
Yes, of course. So those threats they made to Sony, I'm pretty sure the Sony lawyer team is like, yeah, sure, try that. And that makes me smile as well, because I'm working for Cisco, which is, among other things, a very big software company. And they made an announcement yesterday that they're going to acquire Splunk within this always long process of acquiring big companies, right? We're talking about billions of dollars. And that's going to make us the second security software company in the world. So if you are Sony, I'm advertising for my company. We are a good software company for security softwares. Think about us. Sorry, I'm doing the advertisement for my job, but that's so ridiculous. Of course, it's very important to think about security issues. If you're an IT company or whatever company, you need to secure your data. Definitely, because pirates are getting as creative as people doing countermeasures. That's always going to be like this, right? So secure your data. That's an important threat, whether it's a ransom or not. And that's it. And ransomware is not that new. So don't worry, Sony has duplicate servers if they need to crash a few data.
So that's that. All right. So you ready to move on to your first story?
Yeah. So basically what's going to happen, I have a few stories, right? But they're going to be, at least for the three first, they're going to be super short. First, because Crane's not here, so I had to make more stories than usual. Second, because I basically worked until 15 minutes before the show, so I looked at most of the news, as much news as I could. So let's go with the first one, which is Genshin Impact, and that's going to be a very quick one. Genshin Impact, ahead of the 4.2 release, is giving a code to get 60 Primagy, I think it's called. And I don't think we can show the code like this on your screen. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to copy and paste.
Give me time.
Oh, if you could. Otherwise, I'm just posting it right now on the YouTube. Sorry, I can't do that on Twitch because I'm not on there. But at least let me just put it in the details. I'm going to put, here you go, Genshin Impact code for gems. Here you go. So it's saved. It's in the details of this video. You have a code for 60 free gems. Go ahead. It's for you. So I'm not sure exactly we could be able to tell you exactly what it does. I guess it's like free money, free game money. So enjoy.
So this code you can see up here on the screen right now. 6T8NWE34 PD. That is the code if you want these. I'm not sure how they're pronounced, but if you want those, that's how you can get them right there. So go ahead and grab those. They are completely free. I'm not sure how many you get. Maybe Antoine could tell us if he could reconnect. But until then, all right, great. So I'm going to move on to my next story while we wait for Antoine here. Okay. And that's going to be, all right. So my next story is going to be about Phantom Liberty. If you have been playing Phantom Liberty, like I have, Cyberpunk 2077's latest DLC, you might have noticed, if you're on PC, that the mods have been disconnected, and that is because CD Projekt Red has actually disabled mods for Phantom Liberty. The reason for this being that they are not sure how compatible the mods are going to be with the game, and they were worried about it disrupting gameplay or causing issues. So they have disabled mods for the time being. They will be re-enabled at a later date, but if you are playing on PC and you notice that suddenly your mods aren't working, that's why. They've just been disabled for a short time. So go ahead and don't worry. Play for now, and I'm sure it'll be up soon, and then you can go ahead and check out your mods again. All right, so that's nice and short. And unfortunately, Antoine is still not back, so I'm just going to have to move into my next story then. We're having a wonderful day here over at Middle Age Gaming, Korean being sick and Antoine having connection issues, or maybe I'm having connection issues. It's hard to say. We'll have to wait and see, but not that button. All right, so my next story is going to be, this one might be a little bit longer, and unfortunately, I really wish we had other people here to talk about it, because I'm super excited. This is the next big game on my list. I was obviously really looking forward to Final Fantasy 16 this year, and then after Final Fantasy 16, I was really looking forward to Armored Core, and after Armored Core, I was really looking forward to Phantom Liberty. Next up on my list of really looking forward to is Dragon's Dogma 2, and we got a little bit more information on it at the Tokyo Game Show. So they gave us 9 minutes of footage, and they explained to us some of the things that we can see in Dragon's Dogma. And it looks like we're getting a game that's very similar with a few extra bells and whistles on the end. So one of the things that they've added is that the environment is going to be a bigger source of tactics, I guess you could say. One of the examples they gave was they are being attacked by a Cyclops, and they throw an explosive barrel at a kind of a dam or sort of thing, and it actually breaks the dam, and that causes the water to flow downstream, washing the Cyclops away, which is obviously a great way to get rid of a big enemy. So that's really cool. Another example is they're fighting a Cyclops next to a cliff. There's a bit of a canyon, not a very wide chasm, but a small little chasm. They actually knock the Cyclops back, and it actually grabs onto the other side, and they can use it as a bridge to get across the other side. So that's interesting. I'm not sure how much of that's going to actually be in the game, because that does seem incredibly ambitious. So I'm going to keep my expectations low for that. One thing they did show that I do think could actually be useful, though, is somebody grabbed a harpy and used it to climb up to a higher elevation. That's pretty cool. You could definitely grab onto harpies in the original game. And they've also shown somebody riding a griffin, so we'll see how that all goes. They also showed us the 4 starting vocations. So the 4 starting vocations are going to be the fighter, the mage, the thief, and the archer. So in the original game, you basically had the fighter, the mage, and then the archer and the thief were combined into one kind of ranger class. Now they are 2 separate classes. The fighter is going to be your standard starting off sword and board kind of character. They got a sword and maybe a mace in one hand. They've got a shield in the other one. This is going to be your tank character. You have the mage, which is going to be good for range. And one thing that's actually really cool is that the way they do magic in Dragon's Dogma 2 is that normally in a lot of games, for a stronger spell, it's just going to take up more stamina or take up more MP or something like that. The way it's working in Dragon's Dogma is that spells have incantations. So basically, you need to prime a spell, and then you can cast it, or it takes a time to charge it up. More powerful spells are going to take longer to charge up, so you need to be a little more tactful in how you're going to be using your spells, because you can't just use them immediately and then wait for a cooldown and then use it immediately again. It's no, you have to actually start your incantation, get through your incantation. So you have your sword and board kind of character. That's your main thing. I hear you from the stream itself. I'm quitting and coming back in. Okay, he's going to come back in. He'll be here soon. And then you have we're talking about the mage, and so you have your incantations, you need to keep that in mind. And then the archer is going to be your standard kind of ranger class. You use your archery, you can use hail of arrows, that sort of thing. And then the new thief class is going to be your dual wielding class. So the dual wielding and the archery was the same. So the stream was still up. So
I'm the one.
This must be a Riverside issue. Yeah, because I talked shortly about the new Phantom Liberty. Just to catch Antoine up real quick. Talked about Phantom Liberty real short. Basically, they said that mods have been disabled for Phantom Liberty because they weren't sure how well it's going to be working with the game. So just to be safe, they disabled mods. They will be enabled later. But for now, if you're playing on PC and you notice that your mods aren't working, that's why they've been disabled temporarily. And then, talking about Dragon's Dogma. Talked about some of the environmental things that they've added. And talking about the classes, I've covered the first 2, which are the fighter, which is your kind of sword and board. Classic sword and shield character. Talked about the mage. The way they're doing magic now is basically everything, instead of being like you use it and then your stamina drains, say something. The way it works here is all your magic spells are done with incantations, and so more powerful spells have longer incantations. You need to be proactive when it comes to being a mage, because you can't just cast a spell and then wait for it to charge up. You have to charge up the spell first and then cast it. So you have to be a little bit more proactive if you want to be a mage. However, Dragon's Dogma is well known for having really powerful magic and really great magic, so I'm really excited for that system. The third class is the archer, which is pretty standard archer fare. And the fourth class is the thief, which is your dual wielding class, which in the original game, archer and thief were combined into one class. They have also given us 2 of the advanced vocation classes. Those are let me bring up my notes again. Those are the Mystic Spear Hand and the Magic Archer. The Mystic Spear Hand is a combination of, if I had to assume, it's either going to be a combination of the fighter and the mage, or possibly the thief and the mage. I'm not quite sure. We'll have to wait and see. The way the original Dragon's Dogma did their classes is you have your starting vocations, and then you have an advanced vocation for each one. So you went from a fighter to, I don't remember what they call, a warrior maybe, which was just an advanced form of the fighter. But then they also had combo classes. So you'd have a fighter and your archer combination class, which was, or your mage and archer, which was your magic archer. So given that they have four starting classes now, they have the possibility of maybe up to 10 advanced vocational classes if you consider an advanced form of all the basic vocations and then every possible combination of vocations. So potentially 10, but we've only seen two. That's the magic spear hand, which is they have a spear. They have a double-ended spear, and they can use magic. So they're good at basically kind of crowd control and that sort of thing. One thing that was really cool that they showed is that they can pick up objects and throw them. One of the examples that they had was they were fighting a chimera, and a wolf came out, and they killed the wolf. They picked up the body of the wolf and chucked it at the chimera's face. So that was interesting. And then the other class that they showed was the magic archer, which is returning from the original Dragon's Dogma, and that is obviously your combination of archer and mage. So that's interesting, where basically you have a magical bow and you can use these magic arrows that can do things like tracking and that sort of thing. Yeah, and then of course the day-night cycle is returning, where Dragon's Dogma was pretty notorious that the night times were extremely dark and it was really hard to see, but that was by design, because at night you would get out your lantern and you would have limited vision around you, and you had to fill your lantern with oil and that sort of thing. But stronger enemies come out at night. So if you need special materials from them, that was a big deal. And then obviously pawns are returning. So you're going to have your own pawn, and like the original games, but you can hire two additional pawns. So you can have a party of four. That's your character that you create, your pawn that you create, and then you can get pawns from either other people online or from friends. And yeah, you can just borrow those pawns. And what's also cool is the pawns are going to continue to do what they did in the first game, where they can actually, the more you use your pawn to do things, your pawn's actually going to learn about the game. So the more you kill certain enemies, your pawn's going to learn what these enemies are strong against or what they are weak against. They will remember when you attack, say, a chimera, if one of the heads is weak against magic, it'll remember, oh yeah, when we used magic against that thing, it was weak. So if somebody else hires your pawn, they might give advice to those players and say things like, oh, this one's weak to fire, or this one's weak to electricity, or that sort of thing. And also, they will remember the quests that you have done. So if you hire somebody's pawn and that pawn has completed that quest before, when you are going around, the pawn might actually suggest going in directions that lead to the next level of the quest. So if you do get lost and you have a pawn that's experienced that pawn might say, follow me, I know where to go. And then you can follow the pawn to do that. So that's an interesting thing. You don't have to follow it, obviously, but it is a nice little thing that they added. So that is Dragon's Dogma. I am super pumped, super excited. This is the next big game on my list of things to look out for. So yeah, they prison shanked the wolf, yeah.
I never played actually number one. Do you think I should?
I think you should. It's actually pretty short. It's not very long, but the thing is that the game is designed as a cycle, and so it's designed to have multiple playthroughs. So it's, like I said, it's not very long, but there are things that you can miss. So like, for instance, I think there's maybe four or five stages in the game, and there are certain quests that are only available during certain parts of the game, and if you don't get those quests at that time, you're locked out of them. But because the game is so short, you're designed to play through it multiple times, and different times you're supposed to take different paths, so you can actually experience these different kind of side stories as you go through. So,
and do you think it's the next monetary activity? You finish the game very quick, you level your pawn as much as you can, and then you just rent it for a week on Airbnb. So Air Dragon Dogma, renting the pawn, completely leveled up, he knows all the quests, all the weakness, $500 a week. That's a lot. $50 a week, I rent my pawn.
You don't rent them that way. You do, if I remember correctly, you do have to pay a certain currency kind of thing you can pay for it, but basically it's the standard rate for everything. Obviously pawn, and it's based on your level. So if you're hiring a pawn under your level, you can get it for free, I think. And if you're hiring a pawn at your level, it might be free, or maybe it's a base thing, but you'd have to pay for pawns that are of a higher level. But if it's your friend's pawn, you could use them for free.
Yeah.
So if your friend has a pawn, you can just share your pawn for free. But of course, the other player, I don't think the other player, maybe they did get some of the, maybe they did get a portion of the expense if you used their pawn. But one of the things that you could definitely do is you could give pawns gifts. So for instance, if you really liked a pawn, you could give them an item, or you could equip them with good, maybe better gear. And when the pawn returned to you, anything that somebody had gifted to that pawn, you would receive those. So it's a way to, it's not so much a way to send your pawn out to make money for you. It's more of a way of rewarding other people for having good pawns.
All right. I have some stories on the back burner because I was out for, 5-10 minutes?
Yeah.
So let's go quickly. You have seen very recently, since Disney acquired the Star Wars license, there has been a string of movies and shows. Shows like Mandalorian season 1 and 2. There has been Obi-Wan more recently. There has been also Endor that I actually didn't watch yet. But
that one's...
Anyway. Yeah, okay. I don't know. There's so many. I feel an overload of Star Wars. And recently, very recently, if you have Disney Plus, you can see Ashoka, I think it's called, as Anakin's Padawan Ashoka Tano. And why am I talking about this is that, of course, Disney is trying to advertise the fact that Ashoka is on Disney Plus. They had advertised for the platform, and they do this with a collaboration with Fortnite. So you can have Ashoka's skin on Fortnite. And that's, yeah, basically how they are trying to get younger people to remember, young boys, because girls already have, I have Disney princesses, I want Disney Plus. It's much harder to get young boys. Hey, young boys play Fortnite, put the Jedi Knight over there. And they will want to ask their parents, hey, I'm playing Ashoka on Fortnite, I want to watch the show. I know it works because my son just told me, hey, I got Ashoka skin on Fortnite. Do you know the show? I'm sure it's going to be great. Okay, I don't care already, I have Disney Plus for my girls. But just to prove that it works, good commercial strategy.
Yeah, they've had Star Wars in Fortnite before, haven't they?
Fortnite? What is it they didn't have?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they've had Final Fantasy yet.
It's going to happen.
Sooner or later.
I'm sure. As soon as you want to advertise your product to a young male group, just create a skin on Fortnite.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
I've never played Fortnite. I've considered it a few times where I'm like, maybe I should play it. I really, when it first announced and they had the Save the World was the construction, and you built like these fortresses, basically you built a fort and you would have the horde mode, and that really appealed to me when I saw that. I was like, that sounds really cool. That sounds like a game I really want to play with my friends. And then they went with the Battle Royale and just never looked back, and I was always disappointed because I was really looking forward to that Save the World mode, but they just abandoned it.
Yeah, it never really took off.
Yeah, that was always disappointing, but I don't know. Oh, we got we lost Antoine again. Can you still hear me?
What? Yeah, no,
okay, I lost your video. I can still hear you, but yeah. I don't Jesus. Know, it's a Riverside thing. But we got a note from Noble Cooper here. It says, the boys will learn the horrors of Star Wars about anyone being your sister if you don't know who your father is. That's a good point.
Young people will not understand. They haven't watched the original trilogy.
No, they don't. Yeah. Oh, God. Thank God they haven't done a remake of that made, right? But it's good thing they're continuing with it and rather than going back and trying it again. So still no video of you, but at least I can hear you, so that's good news.
Should I leave and come back? Or
you can if you want to, but it's up to you.
Okay, let's try. At least I'll be back in a sec. Just a second, guys.
All right, so we lost Antoine. He's going to try to come back. Was Jar funny? No, I don't think... I was not a fan of Jar, but he was designed to appeal to a much younger... What's the word? Oh, crud. I can't think of the word now. A demographic. He was designed to be for a much younger demographic than myself. I was already, when it came out, I was in senior high school, but I wasn't, because was it the second one came out my senior year of high school, if I remember correctly. But yeah. All right. So he just posted, can you hear me? And the answer is no, and I cannot see him either. No, and it doesn't show you on my screen. But yeah, thank you, Korean, for paying for Rivers. Okay. Well, that was interesting. Yeah, those toy dudes sell and scare kids at night. Oh, the jar of toys? I've never seen a jar of toy. That's not something I've ever had. I do have one more story left, so I guess we'll give Antoine a little bit of time. See if we're doing anything. Or you know what? Maybe I'll just hop right into my last story for today. Let's just do that. So this is Antoine. And I need to... Oh, nope. Here we go. We got him back.
Yes.
All right, we got it back just in time. Fantastic. All right, so do you want to go into your next story?
Yes, before I go again, just a sec, what was my next story? Oh, yes. Again, very quick, very short. Thanks to the success of the several successes of From Software. Of course, we are talking about AC6, Armor Core 6 recently, but more likely because of Elden Ring. Oh, Shadows Die Twice, which was the sole game before Elden Ring, have passed the 10 million sold copies. So congratulations, that's a first for From Software. And I saw that Elden Ring will pass this threshold, but Sekiro did, and apparently it was a fantastic game. So congrats to From Software. And yeah, that's a very quick news before I lose video again.
Yeah, I was disappointed because PlayStation has this thing called PlayStation Stars, which they added just a little while ago. And they have this. So basically, as you play games, for instance, if you play games this month, you'll earn a couple stars. If you buy games, you earn stars. If you get certain trophies, you can earn stars. So it's a new thing that they did. I think Xbox did something similar first, where you can do certain things to get things, and you can use those points, like Xbox points or something like that, and they can use the points to pay for Game Pass or that sort of thing. So PlayStation copied Xbox there, but they have it that you can get rewards that you can spend. You'll get points, and then you can spend your points on different rewards. And one of the rewards that they had up was Sekiro. And I believe, if I remember correctly, Sekiro was up for 6,250 points or something like that. And so I was like, oh, if I get enough points, I can get Sekiro for free. And I was really looking forward to that. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to save up my points. I'm going to get Sekiro. And then they took Sekiro down and put up some new games. So then I couldn't get Sekiro anymore. And I was like, oh, no. And then, yeah, it was like, 6,000 points. And I was sitting at around maybe 2,000, something like that. And then they took Sekiro down, and then I shot up to 10,000 points. And I'm like, I don't know what I did after they took Sekiro down, but like my points like quintupled, and now I have 5 times the points, and I could easily afford Sekiro, but it's not on the list anymore. Yeah, now they have Cuphead, Moss, and Dredge, which Dredge I've heard some good things about, but I figure if I'm going to save my points, I'll save my points for something else. I'd probably just buy Dredge myself.
Yeah, no, yeah. This is perfect if you want to destroy your background.
Yeah. So I was really looking forward to playing Sekiro, but I have not been having the best luck with FromSoft lately. I don't know if it's a FromSoft thing or a Bandai Namco thing, but yeah, because when Elden Ring came, all the previous games had multiple language options. Sekiro had them, Dark Souls had them, pretty much all the games they had, right? Demon Souls had them. And so all these games, multiple language options. Elden Ring came out. I didn't grab it right away, but I did grab it when it went on sale, maybe after like 3 months or something like that. So I was like, oh, great. Bloodborne had them. Bloodborne was the other game. And so I was like, oh, great. I wanted to play Elden Ring. So I got it. It was like on sale and got the game, downloaded the game. I didn't download it right away because I was playing something else, but I downloaded the game and played the game maybe a couple months after that. So this was maybe like 6 months after release, and open up the game. And I did this on stream and it's all in Chinese. And I'm like, okay, what? No, this should be in English, right? And then so I went into the language settings. There's no English. Audio is in English, but so audio had the option of English and Japanese, but written languages were Chinese, Korean. So all the menus were in Chinese and Korean, which was weird because every previous FromSoft game had had English as an option. Elden Ring was the first one to not have that as an option. And apparently I was like, I could have sworn because I had made that mistake before where I had bought one of the Tomb Raider games and it was the Korean version of the game. And so I thought, you know what? I need to be more careful about making sure I'm always buying the right language options. So I was like, I could have sworn I checked that and went online, and it turns out that yes, it was originally listed as having English in Southeast Asia, and a lot of people bought the game and downloaded the game, and PlayStation has the policy that once you download the game, you can't refund it. If you've downloaded the game once, you can't refund it. Probably, I'm thinking the reason is because you could probably just download the game, go offline, refund it, but still have the game on your PlayStation, play offline. and then just reconnect your PlayStation to the internet when you're done, and then it would just say, oh, you can't play this game anymore, which, yeah, so you can't do that. But then, yeah, it was just really annoying. So I went online, and a lot of people in Southeast Asia were complaining about this, and they were saying, like, there's a whole Reddit pages about, like, when are we getting English support? When are we getting it? And they just never added English support. And to this day, Elden Ring still does not have English support. And I'm like, I am not going to buy the game twice. I've already paid for it once, so I'm not going to buy this game twice. And that was one of the reasons why with Armored Core, for a long time, they were not posting their language options. I couldn't find them. And they weren't posting them. And then just maybe a month or two before the game released, if you went to the Hong Kong site, that was the only site that listed languages. And that was, you had to go to the Hong Kong From Software site. You couldn't go to the Hong Kong PlayStation store or something. And it said Chinese only. So then I had to buy it off of my American account, which is, even to this day, it's really odd, because to this day, if you go into the PlayStation store and you look at the regular edition, it still does not list language options. Only the deluxe edition has language options listed. So I don't know what's going on with From Software. I think it's a Namco thing, though, because Katamari Reroll had English, and then We Love Katamari Reroll did not. So they're just, like, really iffy on there.
For the Elden Ring, I have your answer. It's just because of the Xe. So they don't want you to understand the control.
Yeah. Apparently, some people have come up with that, where they're like, you know what? What we've done is we said we're sucking it up. We just learned the buttons. And we just have a sheet. You have to pull out a sheet of paper, and you have to remember 5 down is your strength and 6 down is your stamina. And they just have to have a cheat sheet that they pull out. But then, yeah, you can't read, like, the descriptions on items and stuff like that easily. I can recognize a few Chinese words, but I'm not at that level of Chinese reading. So, yeah. So I could probably figure out how to play, and I could probably be fine in terms of play, but I wouldn't be able to enjoy the game as much because I wouldn't be able to read most of this stuff. I don't know. Hopefully they'll patch it in someday, but I'm not holding my breath for it. My dream is that someday I will somehow miraculously get a free version of Elden Ring, and if that happens, then I will feel perfectly fine with having bought the game once, but I'm not going to pay twice for the same game just so I can get the English version of it. I'll just say, screw it, I lost my money and I'm not playing your game.
After all our little technical issues, where are we time-wise?
We're only at 44 minutes. We're actually pretty fast today.
Really? We still have 44 minutes left?
We're only at 44 minutes.
Oh, we still have 20 minutes left, right?
We have as much time as we want, but yes, theoretically.
Yeah. No, because I still have 3 stories, and I don't know how many stories you have left.
I have one more.
Okay, then I'll go for the next one.
Sounds perfectly fine to me.
It's, well, I call it 2, but they are related, right? It's, remember how is it called? The Tokyo Game Shows?
Yep, Tokyo Game Show.
Okay, I'm sure our dear friend, which is not my friend anymore, of course, Capcom president. Let me just pull up my notes because that's quite fun. So the president and chief operating officer, Tsujimoto, and I'm very sorry for destroying your name, mate. He was saying in an interview that video game prices should be much higher because, and that's where I disagree with him, but anyway, compared to years ago, the prices of making a game have increased a lot. It's all well and fine, but I want data on this. I want data because he's saying that now the price of making very pretty, more than 60 FPS games and everything costs way more than before. In the past 30 years, we had a constant raise in quality, both visual and in story or screen. Anyway, it has never stopped improving. So why now it's way more expensive than before? I'm going to have to start making faces. Anyway, and also the fact that before, and that's not how the future is going to shape up, but all games were physical. You had to buy your physical copy, which means that if you were creating a game, you had to get a CD and input your game onto it and deliver it through GameStop. And that's a big cost, right, for creating and distributing your game, which does not exist anymore. It still exists, of course, but most of the games that you buy, you and me buy right now, even on PlayStation, even on Xbox, it's digital. If you want your physical version, it's because you want either the collector, or you don't really trust the digital option that much, or because digital game is not really owning the game, or it's more of a feeling than an actual problem, right? Everything is going digital, meaning that Capcom has a massive saving in creating and distributing the game. That's my feeling. So why would the game be far more expensive? For me, they should do exactly what PlayStation did. Put the physical game at $80 Canadian, right? And put digital versions 10 or 20 less because they don't have to create and distribute the game. That's what sounds logical to me. So if Mr. Tsujimoto says that the price should be much higher, I want to see facts. I want to see how much it got, because he was also mentioning, yes, the pay of our employee is rising. Really? You mean you pay your employees more than you were before? Again, data, because I don't necessarily believe you there. The gaming industry is not the one who pays the most, and it's rather toxic with very long crunch hours and all. I'm not inclined to believe things like this without having an actual study or some good proof about it. I don't know what you think, Adam, but that's not going to work for me. And that's my other short, which is connected to it. That's crazy. Anyway, you know my love for DLCs and
things
like this. Well, proper DLCs are one thing, right? But cosmetic is another. And see, you know the Ninja Turtle? They have a skin. Yeah, of course, they have a skin now on Street Fighter 6. Guess the price. I won't ask Adam to guess the price because I told you and that you must remember it, right? Oh, yeah.
I do not.
Before the show? Okay, fair enough. How many turtles do you have in...
Four main turtles.
Yes, the four main turtles, right? That you would see in Street Fighter. So how much would you pay for having your skin of turtle in the game?
I am a cheap person. I will... Optimally for me, a skin should be $5, but 10 seems reasonable. Over that, I'm starting to be like, I'm going to guess the way you're saying it, It's like 25.
25 for
one turtle.
All the turtles?
I'm guessing it's 25 per turtle. So it's $100 for all the turtles. More than the cost of the game itself.
It's 15.
15 okay.
15 for
one turtle. So $60 for all four.
Exactly. $60 for all four.
So almost the cost.
We're not talking about Phantom Liberty, which had a DLC and story and new gameplay and everything. No, it's just a skin. Just a skin. $60.
Wait, they don't even have like their skins. Own, they don't have unique moves?
They must, but it's not revelationing the game, right? It's not really adding content. It's ridiculous.
They're not unique characters? That's how,
yeah, they must be. But still, it's not changing the game, right? It's not like changing the game like Phantom Liberty would.
Oh, no, it's just
not an overall.
But you get like a new move set and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, otherwise, if it was just a skin, I'm like, no way. If you just reskin an already existing character? No.
No, it's a unique character, of course.
Okay.
And
still too much. 15 is too much.
It's too much. I'm not even sure, and that actually has something to be checked. Does all turtles have their own unique move, or is just like a skin change between turtles and they are all the same?
All right, so to compare it, let's see. What is the... I'm looking for the ultimate... Okay, so the Ultimate Fighter Pass on Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, that was super expensive as well.
Yeah, it's $84, but how many characters do you get for that?
Oh, there's usually, four or five wave of three or four characters at once?
Okay, so actually it's cheaper than the Super Smash Pass.
Oh, far cheaper. Okay. And I was already complaining that it's expensive. But no, usually Nintendo release a wave of characters, and they release like four, five, or six wave of character at once. So if you have a season pass, it would be far cheaper than
that. I'm trying to figure out, okay, so what is this? I don't have Nintendo to look it up, but let's see. Okay, so Fighter Pass Volume 2, I'm on the Nintendo website. Fighter Pass Volume 2 is $24.99 US or $31.49 Canadian, and you get six characters. Yeah. So for 30, oh, here it says 30. Oh, okay. So that's the original Fighter Pass. If you are playing Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, you can get five characters for $31.49 Canadian, or for Fighter Pass Volume 2, you can get 6 characters for $37.79 Canadian. Yes, this is 37 Canadian or USD, $30 USD or 25, yes, $30 USD for 6 characters. Or according to what Antoine's saying here, it's $60 for 4 characters on Tekken. Is that right?
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter. Oh, I was looking at the wrong thing then. Street Fighter. Okay. So yeah, so you can pay $60 for 4 characters in Street Fighter, or you can pay $30, half that, for an extra 2 characters in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which personally for me, I find Smash to be the more enjoyable fighting game. I'm more of a Super Smash fan than traditional fighting fan, but that's just my personal preference. But yeah, so pretty expensive.
Or you can use $60 to have 5 months of Game Pass, and which price actually are going to go up. I don't know exactly what the price, but I read somewhere that the price of Game Pass are going to go up. But anyway,
yeah, inevitably.
$60, I'm sure you're going to get at least 5 months of Game Pass with a very big library of games, which I'm going to go up actually after. So maybe I should smash or pass. So do you mind if I keep going on roll? Sorry.
You've been frozen in your screen for a long time, but at least we have audio. So that's worth something.
That's perfect for making short.
Yeah. So great.
And so since I'm talking about Game Pass, my last story of the day was about the fact that that's a little stroke of genius, I think, to MT. Xbox is bringing the trilogy of Ace Attorney, just Phoenix Wright. I was just Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, original trilogy, which I think I played on DS or Game Boy Advance. No, DS. Anyway, a while ago. So if you haven't played this, it's extremely fun. And why they do this? First of all, because it's a really good game, right? With 3 games, you're going to really have a lot of fun. And also because they are releasing soon the Apollo Justice trilogy, which is going to be another trilogy of Phoenix Wright games. So they want to build the hype by letting you play and getting some money as well, of course, the original trilogy of Phoenix Wright. And I think it's a very good advertising, because now I am very excited of seeing what this Apollo Justice is going to be. Because the original Phoenix Wright was 20 years ago, maybe more.
It's a long time ago.
I was still a kid. So the nostalgia is working very well. It's in the same for me as the same vibe as Professor Layton, right? Old little mystery or games which makes use of your brain. At least just a little bit. And no, it was really fun. It was a really good game. So I'm very happy to see them arrive on Game Pass. And again, it's another good use of my $10 a month, like $12 a month.
Yeah, no, this is what I always thought Game Pass could be, or this sort of thing should have been. Because I do not know how Game Pass is supposed to be sustainable if you're releasing all your big games like Starfield day one. You know, it's the price. You're losing money. But for these older games, say Phoenix, which is an older game, I can't imagine it's selling that many copies these days. Most people have probably already played it, or they've already, they wanted to, but they just never got around to it. And it's just so far back in the backlog, they're just like, you know what, screw it. But taking these older games that probably aren't generating that much money and then putting them on something like Game Pass is something that I've always thought was where these things really would shine. Because there's probably a relatively low cost of putting them on Game Pass. And it just makes them really accessible, and it's a great way to do preservation of a lot of these older games. So, yeah, I think this is a great addition.
And in this case, advertising the upcoming one at no cost.
Yeah.
No, because they make you remember, hey, do you remember how good this game were at this time? Go and play it again, you middle-aged gamer. You were too young at the time? Play this. Honestly, I don't think it's remastered, but I don't think you need to remaster because it was already, it was drawn,
I would assume,
right?
It's probably at least a little bit remastered if it was on the DS, just to bring it up to a higher resolution.
To speed?
Just obviously they might have done some things to help with loading times and that sort of thing, but just because you don't want this really low resolution blown up on this giant screen. So I'm sure they've probably upped the resolution so it looks a little less jagged on the edges and that sort of thing.
So it's good for the older generation, I would say. It's very good for the younger generation. I would love my kid to play this, because at least I know that he would play something where he has to think a little. It's not like Fortnite. On that note, also the Detective Pikachu is coming out very soon. Also a great one for your kids. At least I know that for my kids, it's going to be a good game. And I'm all out of shorts, despite the fact that I'm going to show up like...
On yeah, it's just going to be a still picture stories. Of you. Like, it's basically your picture right now. If you can see me. It's going to be beautiful art. Yeah, on YouTube static art.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna go viral. You will see. We'll make thousands of views, so many likes. Hey, I love your video.
All right. Well, then I guess that brings me to my final video. We still have Korean stuff that I guess we could talk about some of it. Like, for instance, one of the things Korean was going to talk about was Game Pass going up in price, which honestly, I would think it would be an inevitable has had to go up in price multiple times. And this is basically the Netflix of games, right? But anyway, that's neither here nor there, because my next story is, if I can figure out which number video this is, should be number 11. There we go. I should bring it up. Is that it? And oh, I got a video up. Yes. All right. Perfect. I nailed it. Okay. So my story is going to be that if you are the kind of person who is a Final Fantasy fan, especially Final Fantasy VII fan, you were probably excited when they announced EverCrisis, because EverCrisis was the game that was going to compile the entire Final Fantasy VII story into one game. However, then we found out it was going to be mobile, and probably a lot of people were disappointed about that. Myself, especially, because I was thinking, you know what, even though it's mobile and I don't really like mobile games, I might check it out anyway, just to see all the story and all the new stuff, especially because the game is free. It's got some gacha elements, so you can equip new skins and stuff for your characters and that sort of thing. But the game itself is free. You can play through the entire story, and that's what I really wanted to do. But it's not even available in my region. I can't even play it here in Taiwan. It's not available. It said worldwide. It's not worldwide. They lied. It's only in select countries. However, recently, just at the Tokyo Game Show, it was announced that apparently they learned their lesson from First Soldier, because First Soldier was actually a really good game, but it was stuck on mobile, and that's why a lot of people who did enjoy the game felt it didn't succeed. What they are going to be doing with EverCrisis, we're getting a Steam version coming out. Look forward to that. We're getting EverCrisis on Steam. It's going to be native to PC, so it's going to have all the jacked up graphics and or whatever. But yeah, hopefully I will be able to pick it up on Steam. Hopefully my Steam store does have it. But yeah, and I'm hoping that it will be free on Steam. However,